Welcome, everybody, to another live recording of the Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we are on a mission to empower travel sellers to make the absolute most of their booking data. You can read more about us at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne, and I'm a consultant in the travel and airline industry. Happy to help you with anything related to NDC, one order distribution, and retail. I also work as an instructor for both IATA and Aeroclass.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today and for some new faces there in the audience. It's great to see that. And some familiar ones, of course. It's fantastic. And thank you for giving us your time on a Monday. The format of our discussion today evolves around the post I do usually on a Friday, where we talk about the week's news. And so last week was already week four of 2024. It's unbelievable how fast I was had to think there for a second, but it's unbelievable. It's already gone. And that means we are already almost approaching the second month of the year, which is a bit scary. So I had some investment news to start off with. The first one, I must admit, was new to my ears. I haven't heard about them. I hope I pronounced the name correctly, Tumodo. They are based out of the UAE. They are a startup business travel platform, and they've raised $35 million in pre-seed financing, they call it. I saw this news on a post by Michael Baker from the Business Travel News. These were all achieved by angel investors from the Middle East and North Africa region. So a new platform there coming out of the UAE. And I'll ask you for your thoughts on that in a second, but let me talk about my second one, which was Travel Perk, which is more known to us, and they've raised another round of investment of $104 million, quite a substantial amount, and they would like to invest that in what they say is more automation and artificial intelligence capabilities in their platform. And it's really nice to see that this level of investment is still active and happening. Have you heard of Tumodo before?
No, I haven't heard of them, same as you. But I'm wondering, are we seeing sort of a catch-up effect here of Well, we know how underinvested it's been in the TMC business travel space, right? Is this sort of the result of, we know that loads of stuff needs to happen? And it's quite impressive with Travel Perk, I must say.
Very impressive with Travel Perk. I'm not sure. I would say it's catching up. We know that there's a lot of space in more, let's talk about Tumodo, more business, you know, platform, especially regional stuff that's more specific to the region. I think that's fantastic. So you know, that one makes sense. $104 million in my Travel Perk to invest in AI and automation. That's a lot. So
yes, it is a lot.
Obviously didn't see the pitch deck there, but it must have been very good. Ash, what are your thoughts on these?
Well, I mean, the description of Tumodo is interesting because I see a few things that make me kind of raise my eyebrows here. One of them is that they launched in 2023 and they're connecting to all major distribution systems and global hotel chains. To me, that sounds like the same old, same old. They have to be able to create a difference. Otherwise, they're not going to succeed, at least not as far as technology is concerned. There's a little clip about it being an AI feature. That's nice. Everybody says those letters anyway, no matter what they're talking about. So I think that Tumodo has to really define why it exists. If the purpose of it is simply just to help companies in that market and they're going to localize content and all that kind of good stuff, then I think that there's a scheme there, but they need to be able to do a little bit more than just raise $35 million. I guess raising money is not that hard. As far as Travel Perk is concerned, I mean, I think this is definitely a good investment. This is led by SoftBank. SoftBank is the lead company that's handling the investment in Travel Perk. So that's definitely a major interest because I don't think SoftBank has invested in travel before. This might actually be their first, but don't take my word for it. But I think that that's definitely an interesting maneuver by them to get involved in travel.
Yeah, they've been a bit quiet, Travel Perk. They used to be way more active on LinkedIn than I recall them being lately, similar to somebody else we talked about, Anne, before the call. But
Well, it takes time to spend money, so you have to kind of...
Yeah, there was another financial investor there that caught my eye, and that's Kinnevik. Also quite powerful, lots of money.
The next one, Ash, is actually your post. Back to Boeing and what's going on there. You posted about the fact that United Airlines have decided to remove the MAX 10 specifically from any of their future fleet plans. You wrote about it and said, well, this is good, probably needs to be a bit wider than that. So I don't know too much about what were their plans with the MAX 10. So is it a significant impact on their fleet plans or not so much?
I think it's significant from the perspective of that this was the future, right? So the MAX 10 is going to be, I mean, it's the latest model from the MAX family. With United saying, hey, we're going to pull out because you're not going to get certified in time by the FAA is a huge indicator for this line. On a similar note, Southwest Airlines also made an announcement last week that they're going to be taking out the MAX 7 from its future fleet. And the MAX 7 is the opposite end of MAX 10, where it's the smallest model of the line. But to me, that doesn't really signify too much other than the fact that, of course, they know that Boeing is not going to get certified by the FAA. The FAA actually has also banned Boeing from doing any increases in production of the 737 MAX line until there's so much more clarity on that. So this past weekend, they did allow for the MAX 9 to get back into the air. And the airlines in the U.S. market that do have that line have started to release those planes. But nonetheless, there's going to be a little bit of a volatility as far as the MAX line is concerned.
And we haven't seen any European airlines making any sort of noise here, right? It's been very quiet.
No, it's been very, very quiet over here.
The fact that Qantas is back in the news for some of the wrong reasons once again. So they've released a in-flight safety video that is really quite inspirational to watch, I have to say. It's a very nice video. It's almost 9.5 minutes long, which for an in-flight safety video is way too long, in my opinion. But the question was raised by many, is this an appropriate in-flight safety video? And where do you draw the line between captivating the audience member so that they do watch the video versus getting the safety features across? Very interesting how they've done it. Very similar to some of the other airlines I've seen before where they try and promote their destinations. But there isn't a single clip of the inside of an aircraft interior as far as I can see. I did watch the video. There's a brief demonstration of the safety slides in a graphic, but overall it's very promotional. Personally, I think this is a very divisive one here because I can see the attraction to the video, but personally I do think it's not an appropriate safety video. So Anne, tell me what do you think?
Yeah, you actually managed to watch the whole thing. I was so bored. Sorry, this is just not appealing to me in any way. It's just too lengthy. It's really, oh my word, very critical of it. You can't go on for 9.5 minutes. No way. I actually think 6 minutes is way too long. And you should focus on what it's all about, a safety video. I thought it was terrible.
Yeah, about the length. I mean, my other thinking is if I fly regularly on that airline, right, I'm going to get exceptionally annoyed when that thing starts again, right? And in fact, I'm going to do everything possible to not watch that video because it's just the same content. So Ash, where do you stand on this? Should it be entertaining or should it be functional?
Haven't airlines always tried to make their safety videos entertaining to get the attention of the people on the plane? I think that there's always going to be a component of that. I mean, look, if you want people to watch your video, there's a couple ways to do it. Number one, you play the clip of the Japan Airlines plane crash in Tokyo. That will get everybody's attention. And the second thing is that if you really, really want them to watch without the drama of that scenario, that you have to be able to put some effort behind it. But to just slap on a 10-minute video and expect the same boring clips to interest people, I think that, to Anne's point and your point, that it's not going to be very effective.
Yeah. Now, Anne, was it you who shared a post of us about the fact that they've called in McKinsey?
They've called in McKinsey for an operational overhaul. I find that astonishing. It just never ends with Qantas, does it? Well, they keep saying on the post that Australians have fallen out of love with Qantas, that the love is over. And of course, that's pretty serious. Can't they just do something right? Maybe McKinsey will fix that for them. But
Nobody's mentioning the cost of that thing as well. That to produce that thing must have been fairly substantial. Since we are talking about Australia, is that we all know Turkish Airlines have been approved to fly to Australia. And last week, they have announced that their first destination is going to be Melbourne. So it's just an interesting thing to note. I noticed very, you know, coincidentally, maybe, that Qatar Airways has doubled their Melbourne Doha capacity. And they've also included more of their, there was a certain class, I think, they've added to the route that's the more predominant. So obviously very coincidental, right? And it's nothing to do with the fact that Turkish is going to start flying.
But the good thing is for the consumers, right? Because I saw that the prices have come down significantly.
I was going to say exactly that. That's exactly what we wanted, right? More competition on the route is going to be very good for the consumer. So absolutely very, very true. Story of the week and reason why I've asked Steve to join us is about the news we saw last week that the OTA Love Holidays, they made the headlines really with the news that they now have an official partnership with Ryanair. And this is spectacular on the back of previous week's news where Ryanair was, you know, calling them all pirates and that sort of stuff. And this is very interesting. Steve, you did a fascinating post about this because you talked about the reverse piratism that's happening here. You'll tell us about that in a second. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on the story. If you do a quick introduction about yourself, thank you for joining us. And then just tell us what your post was about.
Okay. Steve Endicott, veteran travel industry, used to run My Travel, used to be chairman of Teletex and other OTAs. So long background in the dynamic package area. Always been interesting to look at Ryanair, why they're so anti-agent. They've always claimed it because they didn't want somebody marking up their fares. But now they provided an API fee to Love Holidays, which they're yielding and charging up to £50 per couple for the privilege of buying a package holiday with Ryanair flights, even though you could go to the same flights on the Ryanair site and buy them £50 cheaper. The API, cost of running an API fee is about £2 to £3. Clear piratism, clear hypocrisy, and actually not a partnership, just rape.
It was absolutely fascinating to me to learn about this, how they charge, you know, through that. And wasn't the other issue as well that Love Holidays, part of this agreement, they have to be showing the Ryanair price and then their package price, right? They have to show that separately. So does the consumer get any visibility on that £50 fee that you mentioned?
No, not the level of the fee. Basically, the agreement between Love and Ryanair is Love must state exactly what they're paying to Ryanair, but there's no visibility and state of visibility of what the fare, the increase in the cost is. So the customer would have to do that comparison themselves. And as you know, most customers wouldn't do that. But what they would do is compare the Love Holiday prices to, say, on the beach or to another OTA. And Love Holidays have just made themselves uncompetitive on Ryanair flights when the other OTAs aren't paying that fee because they're still screen scraping. So an interesting battle would be had.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what was the sort of general theme of the comments on your post? Was it in agreement with what you were saying, or were the people defending Ryanair's position at all?
Some people say, quite rightly, Ryanair can do what they like. Is that true? Because, you know, the three low-cost carriers in the UK, Jet2, EasyJet and Ryanair, have a very dominant market position. And I've written to the CMA complaining about abuse of that dominance because I don't think this level of fares is reasonable or fair to the customer.
Wow, very good. Ash, I think you might have a comment on this, right?
They now have a relationship. This does not look like this is a relationship. This looks like this is a very painful process.
It's only the cost it's painful for Love Holidays. Love Holidays are in a very awkward position because they've been trying to sell their business and float it in the UK. So either a trade sale or a float. And the problem they've got is EasyJet are launching their own tour operations and growing it very fast. So how many access to seats will they have with EasyJet? Jet2 have already got 80% of their seats internally on their own tour operation on some leisure routes. So 50 to 60% of most of the OTA's flight capacity out of the UK is provided by Ryanair. And so far, they've been working around that by screen scraping. But Ryanair have really tightened up to such an extent after Christmas, it became very difficult for anybody to trade with them. And now they've just said, but you can have the API. But I bet they didn't tell Love Holidays how much they were going to charge for the fares over and above the standard fares via that API. Love Holidays would have gone through the card if they'd actually known.
Yeah, and I'm going to maintain my original position in all of this is that, look, if the airline wants to protect its content from third parties, it's their right to do so. If you want their content, then pay the airline, and I'm sure they'll be happy to take the money and provide you the full content. So I think we're entering a new era in travel where the providers of content, meaning the airlines, are going to be paid for their content to be able to be distributed on third-party channels.
And I think that's quite reasonable if cost of that provision of content is met, because it does cost £2 to £3 to run a distribution network, to sell by GDSs, etc. Perfectly reasonable API fees. Having a variable fee that they can charge anything they'd like, up to £50 per booking, does not seem like reasonable behaviour to me and is anti-consumer, particularly when the consumer is not even aware of how much premium they're paying.
I think it's just fascinating. I'm really intrigued by the £50 because, I mean, that is hefty, so to speak. I mean, I also take Ash's position. I think that the airline has the right to to control this. And I mean, that is actually one of the original pillars of NDC, to bring back control for airlines. Not that Ryanair is an NDC airline in any way, but I think this has been one of the biggest problems. And I'm sort of also thinking of the competition here, like you're saying, Jet2 and EasyJet, but they still have such a huge market share. Is interesting because they haven't really, it's sort of unprecedented. Do we have any idea what they charge in the corporate space, or is that, we don't know about that at all?
I don't think because, it's publicly quoted. It's a deal between them and obviously the GDSs. So I'm not sure there's a public...
But I mean, they do, don't they do, or they have no API connection with any corporate travel businesses so far.
I thought they did supply some of the technology side of the businesses. So I thought they did provide that connection, but I don't think they publicly quote the fare, but it's certainly not £50 for a booking.
No.
Already.
Maybe they're trying to send a message. Yeah. It's very interesting. Thank you.
I did reach out to Love Holidays to see if they want to join us today, but they didn't want to comment. I think the news and the way it broke has been quite difficult for them to deal with, but they've been very diplomatic about it all, I suppose, as they have to be. So I'm getting a message here from someone. I don't know if he's willing to be quoted, but he's telling me just to comment on that direct to corporate is probably a deal with Concur, Anne.
Yes. We know that they have, but I don't think they've implemented yet, right? But they will be. They haven't. Yeah, there will be. Because, Ryanair's got an API they can implement with whoever they like. But and I fully understand their position as being very careful in how they want to control their distribution, because that's clearly their end game.
Chris, you have a quick comment on this. Thank you for joining us.
No, I was reading this morning around Ryanair's financial statements, and that's where it mentioned that they're getting, like you said, I don't think it's been implemented yet, but they've agreed with Concur direct access. And I guess we'll wait to see the financials. But it was interesting to read their financial statement that they're projecting for the end of 23 that their projection is $10 billion less. And part of that is the fact that their cut down on OTAs is a direct attribute to the reducing projection.
And that's a very interesting point, because Ryanair have commented during the COVID era that the OTAs represent about 20% to 25% of their seats, they believe. I think it might actually be higher. So it's a very interesting, why would you cut off that demand for your seats if they're paying full price? And it must be because they think they're losing out on ancillary income. But Ryanair don't offer holidays. And I think what they've got to understand is their customer service ethos is unlikely to support a tour operation, because if you're buying a bus service, you don't really care. As long as I get there on time, I don't care. If you're buying a holiday, so many more moving parts that you really do care what happens if something goes wrong. So Ryanair don't have a tour operation. The OTAs, in effect, are an outsourced tour operation for them. Why not work a little bit more collaboratively? And if you are going to charge £50 to the customer, surely you have to tell the customer they're paying that premium.
It will forever be a mystery, Steve, indeed. But we'll see what happens with this. Very interesting to watch what's going to happen here with Love Holidays and Ryanair. Steve, thank you ever so much for giving us your comments. And great post, by the way. I really enjoyed it. And Chris, thank you for your comments as well. So we're going to move on. I do have some extra stories coming up, but before we do, I just want to take a second to turn to the audience and say thank you so much for the great turnout we're having today. It's fantastic to see all the familiar and new faces here. Our absolute mission here with Linking the Travel Industry is to do what it says on the tin, is to make sure as many of us are connected. So please do go through the audience and have a quick glance for those who are not connected to. Please send out a connection request, and also please accept connection requests from our industry peers. We do believe more of us needs to be connected. Our link of the week, which we do each week, this week is going to be Dr. Kupol, I would imagine. Please do connect to him and also to the others in the audience. We would sincerely appreciate that. So guys, those were the stories on my list. I might suspect some of us have some extra stories, but let's start with you, Ash. Do you have an extra story for us?
Yes, I do. Did you guys all get the, I'm sure you read this article about the American Airlines quarter four earnings call? American has now finally said that they plan to go 100% internet bookings, as they call it, which is direct and travel agency NDC channels. What was interesting to me about all of this is the fact that American Airlines is up in revenue by 15%, down in selling costs by 8 to 9%, and that they're planning to offer additional miles to those travelers who do book through the online channel. So there will be a discrepancy between how travelers earn miles, which is the first time that we've seen that from an airline, at least here in North America, and that 2/3 of the revenue of American Airlines does come indeed from its AAdvantage members, which makes a lot of sense based on what they decided to do last week, I think 2 weeks ago, when we talked about them increasing AAdvantage members and how they're creating new value for AAdvantage members than the typical mileage earning. So that to me was a very interesting dissection of where American Airlines plans to go, where they've been, and how they're transitioning in this marketplace.
What is it with you guys? Like, you listening to the earnings calls of airlines, Chris reading the financial results of Ryanair. Where's your weekend gone?
No, it just takes like 2 minutes.
So I can't say I've listened to the earnings calls lately. Anne, have you?
No, I did read about American Airlines. Yeah. And again, of course, you know, I'm full of admiration. As you know, I think it's that they're just doing the right stuff, the right thing. You know, the loyalty, the AAdvantage members. I mean, this is like textbook, full of admiration. What can I say? Really well done, American.
No comment.
Are they the new United in 2024? Of what we used to talk about last year about United? I spent the whole year talking about how great United was last year.
Yes. You're happy now, aren't you, Ash, that we're back to American Airlines?
Finally.
Yes, finally. It took a while. But I admire them both. Yes, I admire them both very much. And like I said, when it happens in America, that's when it happens.
That's true. Thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome. So real quick, my second story is simply that Alaska Airlines has finally come out and said that the grounding of the MAX 9 will cost them $150 million and that both the CEO and the CFO expect Boeing to pay them back.
And any extra stories from your side?
I saw that Malaysian have launched their NDC platform. I've been trying to find out a bit more about it, you know, whether it's the Amadeus NDC suite or if it's something that another provider. But I mean, we're clearly seeing more and more fragmented content. So it's all going in the same direction. So
in relation to that, I saw about three or four different GDS announcements as well with NDC integrations with a variety of airlines. So clearly lots of progress happening there. I think we are at the end of the show. So again, thank you for those in the audience giving us your time on a Monday. Really appreciate it. For myself, we do this every week, so we'll see you next week, ideally. And thank you so much, Ash, as well. I'm not going to try and pronounce our link of the week, but well done to him for being our link of the week. Over to you, Anne.
Thank you, everybody. And of course, a special thanks to our guests talking about this topic of Ryanair, and of course to Gopal, our link of the week. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining today's session. We host this LinkedIn audio call every week on Monday, and it is all about linking the travel industry. We encourage you to share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you cannot make it because of time zone or availability, this session is available as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.